Blog Talk Radio.
My soul is lost, so lonely and so cold, just like a lamb that has strayed from the fold.
Now the next step is act on it. You have been made a new creature in Christ. You are a son of God. And that's pretty impressive, isn't it? It's an awesome thing. God chose you. God chose me as his son. He made all the provision so that we now share his genetic makeup. We have become partakers of divine nature. We are the sons of God. But you know, once we begin making that kind of confession, that's when we get into trouble with especially religious people. That's when Jesus got in trouble with religious people. I mean, they didn't, you know, they weren't all that, they were impressed with the works he did. He's, you know, they all said, we can't deny he does wonderful works. It's just that he can't keep the calendar straight. But that he did a marvelous task is undeniable. But that's not what they pinned on him. They say, we want to get him for blasphemy because he claims to be the Son of God. And I think it's always been that way. When we begin to walk in the reality of sonship, that's when we get religious people coming against us. So be so convinced of who you are that it doesn't matter who comes against you. You will stand. We sang that, didn't we? I stand on this. I stand on this. I stand on this. Sometimes we sing a song, standing on the promises. Stand on them. But then sometimes it is as I read, people might sing, standing on the promises, but they're only sitting on the premises. I get up. No more sitting. It's time to move on. So being the sons of God is a marvelous, wonderful thing. But you know what does he say? It's not the end of the road. There's still more. There's still more. There's more beyond. And it says it has not been revealed what that is. It is so great. It is so wonderful that we don't want to miss it. And all it gives us this clue that when we see him, we should be exactly like him. Because we're going to see him for who he really is. You know, Jesus is a whole lot more than we've ever said, isn't it? We say he's our Savior, he's our healer, he's our King, he's our Lord. We can go through all of these things. He's more than all of that. He is more than all of that. We then begin to see him for who he really is. Then, let me remind you, what else does the Bible say? As he is, so are we in this world. This resurrection business is an awesome thing. It's not just somebody dying and getting up from the dead and how wonderful that is, but the fact is, it changes everything. So what comes next? We're not sure. But as we lose ourselves in God, we get glimpses into what lies ahead. And the reality of what we glimpse ahead is that God is all. It's the reality of this holy city, which is not some town. But it says he saw the bride. It was a city coming down out of God, out from God, out of heaven. So God is all. He's always been all. He's always going to be all. It says in 1 Corinthians that in the end, when everything is accomplished, God will be all. And as we've said, you know, what's the first verse in the Bible? In the beginning, God. Revelation ends that same way. In the end, God. You know what that really means? He's God in the middle as well. So as we live, this hope, John tells us, we purify ourselves as he is pure. Well, is that another one of those conditions or that we can't accomplish? It simply means that since we now have this life of God within us, we just naturally live out that life. Just like this plant, you know. He never did any exercises to try to become a lily. He is a lily. Why is he a lily? Because he is. It's that simple. And you can't do any exercise to become the Son of God. God did all of that. And I am his child today because not only did God say so, but God made me so. And there's more. And so that purity is just a natural outflowing of that life of God that's within us. And it comes because Jesus suffered, died, rose again, that he might bring many sons into glory. Paul reminds us that as we behold him, we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. It didn't say from ugliness to glory, from one degree of glory to another. I mean, this is an onward and upward thing. There is no plateau in this adventure we call the Christian life. It's ever upward, ever onward. And this continuum is fueled by the life of God, by the living God, living out his life in us. We are the vessels. that contain the treasure. And that treasure is Jesus. And so I'm going to end up where we started. The closest of all relationships, siblings. We, you, me, Jesus, are of one Father. Jesus, when he spoke to Mary, said, "My Father and your Father, my God, your God." And when Jesus responded to his disciples' request for prayer, or actually when he was teaching about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, is when he said it most specifically, "When you pray, say, my Father, your Father, our Father, our Father." See, the resurrection of Jesus changed everything. And we are now the sons of God. And the fact of the matter is that the sons of God act like sons of God. Not because we have to, but because it's our only means of expression. That life lived out within us. And we might say, well, shouldn't I be doing this and this and this? Maybe. And I'm sure you will. But you will be doing it not to gain something, but because that reality is there. You know, we say, well, I'll be holy if I do a lot of holy things. It won't work. You will do holy things because God has made you holy. He who sanctifies, we are sanctified, are of one Father, and his life is within us, and he is living out that life within us. We are the sons of God. God's sons act like God's sons because of the life that's within them. And these are the sons with whom the Father says he takes great pleasure. I'd like to keep going with something else here, but let me just say it like with this phrase. Jesus was one whom the Father took great delight. It's the same with the rest of us. God takes great delight in us. And that's why we are told in the book of Zephaniah, he rests in his love. He rejoices over us with singing. Imagine, God sings about us. I'd like to get a recording of that. But for now, it's adequate to know this pleasure he has in us, he expresses in song over us, because now we are the sons of God. Because Jesus went to the cross. Because Jesus rose again. Because Jesus ascended into heaven. Because Jesus is coming again. We can be his sons because he made us his sons. And we will live his life. Not because we have to, but because it's our only choice. The resurrection of Jesus changed everything.
Grateful we are for the gift of relationships, Lord. You have given us friends that surround us with encouragement, forgiveness, and acceptance. You have given us children to remind us every day to see what is eternal and to enjoy the simple pleasures, the joyful sounds, the profound wisdom of your creation. Thank you for laughter. Thank you for music, for conversations. Thank you for beauty. Let the fire of your spirit burn in our bones. Always crowd us to you, for without you we would be lost sheep, wandering and vulnerable. You are the warmth and light that keeps all enemies at bay. You, gentle shepherd, are our fold of shelter, our meadow of provision, our cool spring to quench the deepest thirst.